May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enlighten, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce, O pronounce I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus, my Lord. Hymn 380.
Thank you.
Our readings from God's holy word are from the book of Genesis, from chapter 42 and chapter 45. The book of Genesis, chapter 42, and we commence reading at verse 29. And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. And now, Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall be neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver, and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help his servant in prayer.
Most mighty and most holy and eternal Lord God, we need thee now to grant to us a breath of real breathing. Oh, that thou wouldst come, dear Lord, and be the master of assemblies as we gather this evening. Oh, we would pray as those that journeyed to Emmaus did, that thou would abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Oh, we do seek for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and felt, both in our hearts, dear Lord, and within these walls. And oh, that thou wouldst speak to our souls, that we may hear thy voice. And oh, that thou wouldst come, Lord, where each of thy dear children are, and visit us in the midst of the trials of the journey, and grant to us, Lord, that needed grace and faith to venture on in the narrow way. Oh, deliver us, Lord, from ourselves and from this world, and deliver us from all the powers of Satan. And oh, that we may be truly humbled in the dust and be as nothing, that a precious Jesus may be the all and in all to us. Oh, may we know more and more of the preciousness and suitability of the dear Redeemer, suited to every sinner's case. And we would come pleading his precious blood, his glorious name, his righteousness. And oh, as we come near, Lord, we do pray for that sweet access at the throne of grace, and for that heavenly boldness which the apostle so sweetly spoke of. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. O Lord, as it is a time of need now, we do beg of thee that thou wilt come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. Lord, we come as a vile, poor, helpless sinner. We've nothing in ourselves to bring, but oh, we would be ever clinging to thee, cleaving to thee continue. And oh, that thou wouldst wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. And oh, may we know that sweet pardon and peace within, which only thou canst give. And oh, that thou wouldst whisper pardon and peace to each sin-sick sinner. And oh, that thou wouldst blot out all our many, many sins. and wash us, Lord, and make us whiter than snow. Oh, do give us that faith to believe, Lord. Save us from all our unbelief. And oh, it's the unbelief that so plagues us. But oh, may we be given, Lord, that living faith to believe in Thee, and to believe that Thou art able to do for us far exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt rend the heavens, Lord, and come where we are this night. Oh, do show us a token for good, Lord, both in our soul and the souls of Thy people, and too in the ministry of the Word, and to the church here in Swaveson. Oh, we long for those sweet tokens, Lord, of Thy love. Oh, that Thou wouldst fill us with Thy love. We would pray with the dear hymn writer, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Oh, we mourn, Lord, so often because our love is cold and faint. And oh, that we might love Thee more and more. And oh, do come, Lord, and reveal Thyself to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. Oh, do come and lift up any that are cast down, Lord. And knowest how low Thy people sink. But oh, we pray that Thou wilt appear and lift up any in a low place and cast down condition. Raise their souls above the ground. Remember all that are tried and tempted. And knowest how real, dear Lord, the temptations are, the onslaughts of Satan, for Thou wast tried and tempted too. We pray that Thou wilt deliver Thy tempted followers. Cast the adversary out, Lord. Set them free. And all that are in bondage, do come and loose them, Lord. For Thou alone hast all power to set Thy people free. Oh, that Thou wouldst whisper as Thou didst to Lazarus, and those, Lord, around him, to loose him and let him go. We pray Thou wilt loose Thy people, that they may have the tongue of a ready writer, be able to speak of what Thou hast done for them. And O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless the dear children, the little ones, Lord, and those growing up in years. Do remember them with the favour Thou bearest to Thy people. Help them in their studies, Lord, and help them in the Sabbath school. May the dear teachers have that sweet encouragement that they labour not in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. Oh, do bless Thy word to the dear children, that it may be made life and power to them in their early days. And oh, that Thou wouldst raise up those that shall be useful in their dying generation. Those of the young people, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt preserve them and keep them and bless them. And may they have that eye of faith given to them to look wholly to thee and to cleave close to thee, dear Lord, and to know real fellowship with thee. And may they be raised up, Lord, to be mothers in Israel and travailing fathers. Provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives for them. And may they be enabled to watch and to pray. Remember those in affliction, Lord. We pray for healing mercies if it's thy will. And oh, that thou wouldst make each bed in each affliction. That thou wouldst sanctify these afflictions, Lord, to thy dear children. And may there be a blessing in it all. And oh, we pray for all that are bereaved and sorrowful. Oh, thou hast promised, dear Lord, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And oh, may thy sorrowing people know that sweet comfort from heaven. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to make up the breach. And as thou dost take one and another to thyself, may there be others raised up to fill their empty seats. And do call by grace, dear Lord, any that as yet know thee not, and any that have no desire for the truth, may they be brought, Lord, to earnestly seek thy faith. And to desire the truth as it is in Jesus. To open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears. Bring back prodigals, Lord. There might be those enabled to say, I will return to my Father's house, where there is meat and a spear. Oh, we beg of thee to work. And do remember, dear Lord, those thou art working in, and they may be graciously established in the truth and made steadfast and unmovable, and not be driven about by every wind of doctrine. Lord, do remember this cause of truth. We pray for those away at this time, that thou wilt be with them and grant them safe journeys when they return home and while they're away. And may they be refreshed by the change. And dear Lord, we pray that thou wilt add to the church here precious souls, if it would please thee, and to our own church at home. May there yet be a moving of the water. And those enabled to say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Oh, do come, Lord, and remove all that hinders, and thy dear people may be able to say, hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you. And, oh, Lord, do bless the deacons, we beseech thee, and help them in the choice of the hymns. May they prove to be thy choice and made a blessing to thy people. And may there be that sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Who help thy dear servants and grant them, Lord, that gracious anointing of thy Spirit. They may be thy messengers in thy message. And oh, may that which has been attended to thus far throughout Zion bring forth fruit to thy honour and glory. And oh, Lord, may we be enabled, each of us, to truly praise and bless thy holy name. We thank thee for all the mercies of providence, the mercies of grace. For thee, a beautiful sunshine we've been favoured with for the gathering into the harvest. And now, dear Lord, to bless the showers as thou dost send them on the earth. And oh, may we know those showers of heavenly blessing in our souls. For thou hast promised in blessing, I will bless thee. And oh, do remember us, Lord, in the nation, and hear the prayers of thy people for thy appeal. Leave us not to further depart from thee, but oh, do turn us from our evil, wicked ways to thyself. May there be many brought to think and tremble, for death is now upon the road. May we each, Lord, be graciously concerned for thy appearing in the land. Oh, leave us not, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation, to overturn and overturn all the laws that are contrary to thy word. Overrule, Lord, in all the affairs of leaving the European Union. And may we yet see thy hand working wondrously. Who bless our Queen and the royal family, and those in high places. May each one be brought to know thee vitally and savingly, and to seek thy face in all the things of their lives and in their souls. And to remember all thy people, where they be, especially those that are oppressed and persecuted. Oh, do make bare thine arm and command deliverance, we beseech thee. Do keep Satan at bay this night and from all those he tries to tempt and trouble. Do bring to fruition the exercises of thy people that are real. But Lord, do dry up in us all that that's only flesh. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Do come and anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. And oh, may thy word have free course and be glorified. Grant a true spirit of hearing. Leave us not nor forsake us, O God of our salvation. Prepare us for the great day of death and of vast eternity. May we not be lacking, Lord, in anything that's vital when we come to die. And we would pray with the psalmist, that I know not, teach thou me. We ask these poor breathing, seeking the forgiveness of all our many sins, anything we've uttered amiss, in the dear name of the Lord Jesus. And dear Lord, do make up in giving where we fail in asking. We would ask it for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 641. Jesus, mighty God and Saviour, lead me forth by thy right hand, and be it my fixed endeavour to obey thy sweet command. Let me never at a trifling distance stand. Hymn 641.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Isaiah chapter 42 and the 16th verse. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. We tried a little this morning to look at the commencing of this verse, of how the Lord promised to bring the blind by a way that they knew not. And then in conclusion we looked a little, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. And I just want to tarry a moment on this before we venture into the latter part. There are those paths which the Lord will lead his dear people in, which they have not known even before. And we would begin with the path of faith. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord gives his dear children a faith to walk the heavenly road. And faith is a wonderful grace given by God to his dear people. And he'll lead them forth by faith. You read Hebrews 11, how he led them all by faith, right the way through that Old Testament. And we think of that searching word the apostle put in that chapter: without faith it is impossible to please God. And it may be in a path you may be caused to walk in now. It may be that you've not known it before, but you've got to walk by faith in it. I love that couplet of the hymn. 'Tis by faith and not by sight Christians yield obedience. And really, you know, while we are here below, it is walking by faith so often, venturing upon the Lord by faith. It's like the dear woman that pressed through the crowd. She had to venture by faith, didn't she? To touch the border of his garment. It was a path she'd never known before in the same extent which she was to know it then. And the Lord wonderfully honoured her in it, didn't he? He said, thy faith hath saved thee. And may we have a little of that faith given to us as we venture on from this service tonight. But then he says, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Paths of obedience. You know, I did mention it Southerly this afternoon. Be ye as obedient children And what a wonderful path to be found in, the path of sweet obedience to the Lord's commandments. We have sung that beautiful hymn, you see, of willing to walk in his commands. And to be led in that path of sweet obedience to the Lord. You think, and I hadn't thought of this before, but you know, the sweet obedience of the dear Redeemer. He was ever obedient to his Father's will and ever sought to do the will of his beloved Father. And how, as parents and grandparents, we rejoice in our children or grandchildren being obedient. You think of the joy it brings to a dear parent, but far greater so if we are the children of God, being obedient to him. I mentioned this afternoon, and it has been with me much. A dear friend of mine went to see one of the Lord's dear servants just before he passed away in the last few years. And this dear servant of God, he said, you know, one of the reasons why our churches are in a low ebb is because of disobedience. And when I first went into the ministry, I remember going to one of our chapels, and in those days there was about 150 people attended, but the church membership was only 4. And I thought about what that Lord's servant said, you know. There were many in that congregation that truly loved the Lord, and many of them are now in glory, and they made wonderful ends. And many of them, you know, have said, if only we'd been obedient to the Lord's commands. You see, he said, didn't he, to his dear disciples, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And what a mercy it is, and one looks back in one's own heart, how the Lord made us willing to be led in his paths. It may be there's one here tonight, and it's a path you've not known before, but the exercise and the concern and the love you have in your soul to the Lord, and how he's open your blind eyes, as we looked at this morning, and reveal the vital things of God to you, the preciousness of his word, the preciousness there is in the Saviour. The world sees no preciousness in him, do they? And nor do we by nature. But when he leads you, poor soul, in that part of the paths that you've not known, he'll reveal the preciousness and suitability of the dear Redeemer to make you willing to obey his commands. Well, I'll leave that for your meditation. You think of those precious souls in the Word of God. We could name many who were led in that path. You think of the jailer and his household. Think of those in the house of Cornelius. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? You know, if a soul really loves the Lord, there's nothing to hinder them. The hymn writer said, hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you. I will lead them. And it's the Lord leading you, poor soul. You will see his hand going before you. wonderfully leading you forth like a shepherd goes before his sheep, leading them in paths that they've not known. If you go into the east, you know, where the shepherd always goes before the sheep, he knows exactly what they've got to go through as he leads them into green pastures. He leads them beside the still waters, as he did David. He restoreth my soul. He was in paths that he'd not known in the reality and sweetness and sacredness of them that he was now in, which he'd not known before. So there's this sweet prospect, you see, before the living child of God. And then he'll lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he'll lead you into his truth, the precious words of truth, and all to be led into them. Maybe that he brings you into a severe affliction and he leads you into a little of his sufferings and agonies in that affliction. And you have to say with the hymn writer, his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? But because of time, I will hasten. Let us look, and I'll leave that for your prayerful meditation. I will lead them, and the Lord speaking is not my word. Let's be very clear about this. The Lord speaking, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. And where will these paths end? In glory. In eternal bliss in heaven. And then he goes further. I will make darkness light before them. Now, that those of you that are walking in darkness tonight, some of the path that the child of God has to walk is through much darkness. We are told in the word of God that the days of darkness shall be many. And you may say, well, it seems so often we're in darkness. But when you feel this darkness, it's a sign there's life within you. Because the dead know not anything. And those that are dead in trespasses and sin don't know any difference spiritually between darkness and light. But the real child of God does. And here he has promised, I will make darkness light before you. Now, you feel this darkness, you walk in it, and like in a natural darkness, you cannot, nor can I, remove that darkness. Once night comes, darkness comes. No man can bring it, the Lord sends it. And he sends it in the hearts and pathways of his dear people. So they know what it is to walk in darkness, and they know what it is to feel that darkness. They cannot see their way. There may be one tonight in things of providence. It may be some of you young ones. If only the Lord would show me his way. Remove this dark cloud that we're in and give us light. Well, go back to creation. When we read in the first chapters of Genesis of the wonders of creation, everything was void and darkness. until God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was done. And the same will apply in your poor heart. Now, what brings this darkness? We're often in darkness because of sin. Sin's within us. We noted this morning a few times the sin of unbelief. And oh, how often we're in darkness because of unbelief. A besetting sin that plagues the real child of God. You cannot remove it, can you? You long for it to be removed. You plead for it to be removed. And there are seasons we come right into the depths of darkness. The Lord hiding his face and we're in darkness. What does the psalmist say? Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled, because the way is dark and is hard and difficult. But then, darkness, we stumble along in, don't we? We cannot see our way. Darkness prevails. And then we're often in darkness because Satan is attacking us on one side and the other. And we come into such a season of darkness. Almost as it were, fear and despair in it. But here we have this sweet promise. I will make. The Lord speaking. Darkness, light before them. And as the Lord gives light as he did in creation, so he will give light in the hearts of his dear people. And there's some blessed things that flow from light, aren't there? You see, when the Lord gives light, he will give light upon his holy word, and you'll see in it so much that attracts, that is attractive to your little faith. You'll see the beauties of it. And then, if he gives light, he will give liberty. You take a little child that goes out in the dark, it's troubled, isn't it? Will cling to its mother or father. But he goes out the same door in light and it's at liberty, isn't it? It's free. He can see things. He can see its way. And so it is spiritually. And oh, may the Lord in this dark and solemn day grant many of his dear children, all of them, if it's his holy will, each of us, light. Because if he gives us light, we'll have liberty. We'll be free. What did Jesus say? If the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. Now, where does this light flow from? It flows from the dear Redeemer. You read John chapter 1. Oh, how he speaks of being the light of the world. But then you may have to walk in darkness to experience just a little of the darkness the dear Saviour endured himself. If we are followers of him, we shall have to, in measure, walk in a little of the path that he walked. And you think of the darkness, and I speak with much reverence, the darkness he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And especially in those depths of his agonies. Oh, the darkness of soul, as verily man, and yet he was verily God. And you and I, if we're his children, we'll have to walk in a measure of that darkness as you enter into suffering in various ways. Your master's lot you must expect, you see, in some measure. But the mercy was, he wasn't left in that darkness, and nor were the real child of God there. And then think of the darkness of Calvary when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the darkness. And the darkness there was in the hearts of the dear disciples when they'd seen their dear Redeemer crucified and slain. And in the dear women, Mary Magdalene and others, they felt everything was gone, the dear Redeemer taken from them. But you know, there was to be the day of light, wasn't there? That glorious morn of the resurrection, and all the light that was to shine forth. There's the hymn writer say, Lord Jesus, shine, and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. And you look at the light and liberty there was in the heart of Mary Magdalene when he revealed himself to her as her Saviour, her Redeemer, her all and in all. I will make, and he did so with dear Mary, didn't he? Darkness, light before them. And all the clouds of sorrow and of sin and of unbelief and the clouds of temptation were all to be removed. So there's this sweet prospect. And if nothing today in my poor ramblings round this word be done, may the Holy Spirit sweetly grant the application of this text. Because if he does, there's something very precious to experience in your soul and in mine if he fulfills it. And he will if he's spoken it. These dear people were to sweetly experience it. I will make darkness light before them. That darkness that's caused because of all your sin, those sins within, and sins that plague you. What will be the sweet issue? When he makes light, he will grant pardon and peace to your poor soul. Sweetly assure you that all those sins that trouble you were all removed at Calvary when he shed his precious blood and when he said, it is finished. Think of those precious words. How many of the Lord's dear children have had gospel light granted to them as the Lord has whispered those words, it is finished. Salvation's work was done. Finished all their sins, put away forever. And then he goes further. And crooked things straight. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes, who can make that straight which God hath made crooked? And here we have the Lord speaking and make and crooked things straight. You know, the Lord alone can grant it. He has said in chapter 45 of Isaiah those beautiful words. I remember some years ago at Ashwell, I was so troubled at the end of the year how I'd face the new year and how we should venture into that new year in the ministry. And you know, the Lord spoke these words, and I've never forgot it, so sweetly in my heart. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And you know, that word carried me into the new year and carried me through the year, what the Lord was to do. And to my soul, it was a blessed year, you know. The Lord fulfilled that word in every jot and tittle. And it may be in some matter tonight, there are those crooked things that you may have. And you may say, will the Lord ever make them straight? Well, he has all power to, poor son. You've got no power to make them straight. So often, you know, we think, left to ourselves, we can make this straight or that straight. And what does it do? It makes the whole thing more and more crooked. Oh, it does. Because it's us. We're poor, fallen sinners. And the Lord, what he does is perfect. What we do is contaminated by sin. What the Lord does is pure and holy and perfect. And when he says, crooked things straight, this is what he's promised to do. He will fulfill it. In his time, let's be very clear in this, not your time, not mine, his time. You may have to wait for it, and wait his appointed hour when he will do it. But you see, he has all power to, and that's why we read together the wonderful experience of dear old Jacob. It rested upon me so much with this text upon one's heart, how wonderfully the Lord was to fulfill this. And I would just remind you of the great exercise and burden that dear father Israel Jacob had. You remember how the brethren, because of their jealousy of Joseph, cast him into the pit and sold him down into Egypt. And then they went to Father Israel with the coat of many colours. And they had dipped it in goat's blood to disguise it as he'd been killed and destroyed. Think of the solemn deception there was in it. Father Israel, he loved Joseph, you know. But of course there is a solemn lesson in this. We need to be very careful, those of us with offspring, that we don't make too much of one above another. There's no doubt it was manifest in several ways that Father Israel thought greatly of Joseph. But anyway, the brethren were jealous of him. They wanted to destroy him and they were determined to do it. And so they go to Father Israel with this bloodstained coat. He hears their words. And all the grief there was upon him. He felt he'd go down to the grave in tears, didn't he? Which you can well understand. Never to see him again. How could ever it be made straight? Well, you see, dear Father Israel couldn't make it straight. Nor could any of those brethren. And we read, didn't we, in chapter 42, those last few verses, the dear man, instead of it being made straight, dear Father Israel had to go lower still. The famine came. This was all part of the purposes of heaven, making it all straight. It wasn't by chance the famine came. And there, as they go down into Egypt, and the Lord was to provide for them, Joseph was ruler of all Egypt. But then he requires them to bring back Benjamin. And oh, the grief there was in the heart of dear Father Israel. What did he say when they told him that they got to take Benjamin away? And Jacob, their father, said unto them, "Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not. And Simeon is not. He was down in Egypt. They'd kept him there. And ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." And oh, how he felt that he'd go down to his grave with grey hairs and sorrow to the grave. But oh, how was the Lord to make it straight? Well, the Lord was to do it. Joseph was yet alive down in Egypt. He was ruler. God had gone before, hadn't he? He was to make the crooked things straight. And we read, didn't we, in that 45th chapter, and I love that part where we read concerning the dear man. But before I name this, you think how Joseph made himself known to those brethren. They had got to all, and what a lesson there is in that. Be brought right down to nothing. Oh, they had. You see, there's no room for any flesh in the presence of the Lord. We read, don't we? No flesh shall glory in his presence. We must be nothing. The apostle knew it when he said, "Though I be nothing." But then, as they go back to Father Israel, with the message that Joseph was yet alive. And what do we read? "And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And then this, and when God's time had come for all the crooked things to be made straight, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And then, and Israel said, that is the new man of grace. It is enough. He could see how all that crooked thing that he'd had to walk through, God had made it straight. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And what a joy there was, wasn't it? God had made it straight. No man could, but the Lord had done it. And to bring it home to you, there may be those things in your providential pathway, they look so crooked, but God can make them straight. Well, they can. He can do it in a moment. You may have to wait for it. You think of the years that Father Israel had to wait. But in God's time, it's like we often quote that beautiful verse, a time he has set to heal up thy woes, a season most fit his love to disclose. Until he is ready to show his goodwill, be patient and steady and wait on him still. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. That is to say, putting it simply, remove all the obstacles. There'll be many things in the way, many hindrances. It may be even in following the dear Redeemer in the sweet commandments of his house, and we could spend much time on it. All that hinders, but the Lord, you know, can make all those crooked things straight, remove every obstacle to make it straight. And that's what he did with dear old Jacob. There's a beautiful word in the 24th chapter of Genesis. What Abraham's servant said when he sought to take Rebekah back to Isaac. Hinder me not. Lovely words, really. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. And the Lord was to remove all those obstacles so he could take Rebekah back to Isaac. The Lord did it. If the Lord's in a matter, he will make it straight. Oh, he will, in his time, in his way. And you'll be able to put against this word, as the old saint did years ago, T and P, tried and proved. How many times have you put that against a text in the Bible, tried and proved? Well, when you have these crooked things made straight, you could put it against it. And when you look in your pathway in providence and in grace, you can say, well, I've tried it and I've proved it. Well, let's conclude with this wonderful promise to conclude with. the Lord speaking, "These things will I do unto them." It just seems as though the Lord was confirming it and confirming it and confirming it. You look at the "I will" in this text, and "I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them." Not perhaps he will. If I do this or do that, he will. "These things will I do unto them." And there's something you can plead, poor soul, before the Lord. "These things, Lord, thou didst say thou would do them." And then he seals it home with this: "And not forsake them." What do we sing in the hymn? May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply it to us tonight. "I will never, no, never, no, never forsake." Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £700, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 180. "Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross, that alone be all our glory, all things else are dung and dross. Thee we own a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood." Hymn 180.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own precious word. Do apply it to each of our souls. And do take us now into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.